KMCH HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to New Sky Radio. We are live from our headquarters in Ferndale, Michigan. This is Fired Up with CJ now at fireitupwithcj.com. Welcome to July, everybody. I hope everyone's enjoying their summers. This month, we'll be focusing on how you can gain independence and freedom from common stressors in your life. Welcome, CJ.
Welcome. Thank you so much, Cassandra. I'm so excited to have Ragini Michaels talking about her life, which I find fascinating. And she is the author of Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful, No Matter What. And we've, over this course of the month, have been very privileged to hear how Ragini deals with common stressors, which I was so interested in hearing, because I said to Ragini, Ragini, you just think differently in the best possible way. You think from a spiritual mindset in terms of when we encounter day-to-day stressors, how do we deal with them? And you're able to do that because you have developed such a beautiful spiritual practice over the course of your pretty much entire life, right?
Close.
Yeah, pretty much. So today we have Ragini Michaels, a spiritual coach, talking to us about how she went about it. So welcome, Ragini. So I was shocked in the last segment when you said that you were a hardened, angry person, which mm-hmm. is so, you started off a hardened, angry person, and it's shocking to me to see you before me and to imagine that you started out that way. How did you do it? What did you do? How did you do it?
Well, curiously enough, it isn't really something that you do. It's something you're open to and decide to follow mm-hmm. without really knowing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because a spiritual path is very bizarre in the sense that, at least mine was, mm-hmm. in the sense that I didn't really realize I was on one.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, when I first started out, I described myself to you as hardened and, you know, sort of, you know, not a very pleasant person to be around. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that was true. I was in relationship, which is how I actually found that I was on a spiritual path or even had any interest in it, because the person I was with was interested in it. All I wanted was the person. I was not interested in the path.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's
so fascinating. I think he gave me at the time the little mouse that tags along. He gave me that nickname.
Oh, no, that's awful.
I was very quiet and very held back. And partially I was so angry and irritable because I had a lot of needs that I didn't realize I had. And I was projecting them on my partner, and he was supposed to fill them, and he wasn't. Because he didn't know what they were. And
right.
Even if he had known what they were, I doubt he would have filled them, because
right.
the person who has to fill our basic needs
ourselves.
Is ourselves,
yeah.
right? Which I hadn't a clue about at that time.
Yeah.
This was when I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And the reason I got on this path at all was because I was in love with him, and he was on it, and I followed. That's how I got on it.
Wow.
And the misery of the relationship in the last 6 years or so is what really got me to understand that this was my path, not just his.
Wow. The misery, what?
The misery of my last 6 years of that relationship.
Was allowed you to say that it was your spiritual path, not his.
Right, because I
How
was
so?
Doing a lot of meditation retreats at that time. Mind you, not because I was interested in waking up. I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
You know, I first heard the phrase conscious living, conscious dying, and I thought, what is that about?
Yeah.
I mean, consciousness was not even a word in my vocabulary.
Right.
All I wanted was a husband, a house, and 2 kids, and 1.5 cars. Right. And I wanted somebody to take care of me, you know,
right.
the traditional middle America, which I grew up in the
right.
Midwest. kind of idea about what was the best life.
Right.
But obviously that was not in store for me.
Yeah.
Because that isn't where my life went.
Okay.
So in the last 6 years or so of that relationship, when I was doing meditation retreats and also learning to meditate, I started to understand and see how I was actually looking outside for my happiness, looking outside to find peace by having him give me what I needed. Okay. And I could be centered if he made me happy. Well, I was completely, absolutely 100% wrong about the whole thing. And of course, that was hard.
Yeah. Darn.
But in reality, those 6 years were tremendously powerful because I learned that the misery I was experiencing in the relationship was not
yours,
because of him, but because of me.
Yeah.
And that started me on the spiritual path in a serious way for myself.
Okay, so what were the things that you tried? Because in some ways, part of what you have to do is, like you said, you're open to it. But then there's so many different, right now there's like a buffet of different things. I don't know if there was a buffet when you were there.
Oh, in some ways, sure, because this was back in the, when was this back? In the 70s.
Oh, there was a buffet then.
It was definitely a buffet. And let's see, I did transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. I did Zen meditation, Vipassana meditation, which is one of the Buddhist ones again. And that one is the one that I really I embraced for many, many years, doing Vipassana with Joseph Goldstein and Jack Kornfield, and Sharon Salzberg. So those were my original teachers. I did psychic things. You know, I got all involved in mind games and psych tarot readings and, you know, psychic phenomena. And I didn't stay with that very long because to me it became the way I looked at it was a roadside attraction. And that was kind of what I was being taught. But that was not really where you want to put your energies if your goal was to be really happy and free.
Why is that? How is that not related to being happy and free and considered a roadside attraction?
Because psychic things have to all do with your mind. And when I understood, and this was key for me in changing my spiritual approach, when I understood that freedom was not of the mind, but freedom from the mind, that was a turning point in my spiritual perspective. Because I learned early on, I was very blessed, that the mind will never be able to get what spirituality is all about. The best you can do is give it a roadmap that will quiet it down, which is what my work is all about. It's having created a roadmap for how to navigate this plane of reality, okay, with all the dilemmas in it that we've talked about on and off over our times together. But understanding that your mind can only go so far on the journey. And, of course, that meant I must be more than my mind, which was a stunning realization.
Right. So what am I then?
Right. And it took me about 30 years before I found anything that made any sense to me in relationship to soul and what that is. And do I really have one? And love and truth. I had no idea what those things were. And I didn't really go there. I just knew I had no idea what they were.
Right.
And so my journey, spiritual journey, has been very much trying to figure out what are those things.
A lot of spiritual texts, even the ones that you read when you were probably in the relationship with that guy, are all about soul, truth, and beauty, but you didn't have an experiential sense of that?
Beauty I know about.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about truth.
Don't tell me I don't know about beauty.
Beauty's the only thing that kept me going. Beauty I knew about, but truth, love, truth and love I had no idea about. Or consciousness. I didn't really understand what that was. My background was in neurolinguistic programming and hypnosis, which is studying the mind, you know, and the unconscious mind and how to utilize it to be a support to your spiritual journey. Because you can't take your spiritual journey in your mind, but you can use your mind to sort of create an environment that can nourish your spiritual journey. Or your mind can be really hideously against your spiritual journey. But just the understanding that there was more than my mind was huge, and that was a major starting point for really deepening my own journey in spirituality.
Interesting. So it really was.
It wasn't about being right and wrong. It wasn't about being good and bad.
Yeah.
It was about being present.
Right.
Nowadays, that's very common. Everybody knows spirituality is about being present.
And so you said 30 years. It wasn't until 30 years that you found. And what was the thing that you found?
in the 30 years?
You said, oh, it wasn't, oh. You said, I tried all these different things and it wasn't until 30 years that I found.
30 years I found since I got enough distance from my mind that I was still there.
Okay.
And I was actually something more than my mind. I had the experience of it.
Okay.
And that's what makes a mystical approach slightly different from other traditional spiritual paths. Mystics want to have the experience. They want to know through their own experience that there is something more. So my experiences finally brought me to the place where I had enough of them to know, oh my goodness, this is correct. When my mind is still, I'm still here. What? You know, my thinking is not all there is. You know, I still exist when there's no thought going on, right? That was pretty stunning. So then there must be something more. So the concept of a soul then became something that had a bit more reality to it for me. Because I'm not someone who bought into saying, I know. I mean, I used to be in the Osho was my primary master for a long time. And he was very much about love. And I used to be in the ashram and they talk about love, love, love. And I would go, I have no idea what that is, guys. You know, and I didn't for many, 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 many years. Same with truth. Truth is just something I'm just starting to even dare to look at, right? Because it's very tricky stuff. Because you don't want to settle for a mental understanding of something when you're on the kind of path that I'm on. You want to have a personal experience of it because then you don't doubt it. It's just, it's your experience. And that's it. I mean, nobody has to tell me that I don't have a cold. If I have a cold, I know I have a cold.
Right.
I'm not going to argue with anyone about it. I'm simply going to do what needs to be done to take care of my cold.
I love it. So we have Ragini Michaels, a spiritual coach trained in NLP and hypnosis. Next, we're going to talk about something that she touched upon. She tried transcendental meditation, Zen, Vipassana meditation. Why? Because we have to figure out a way to calm our minds. And so we're going to talk about meditation in the next segment. And folks, make sure to subscribe to us by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. And you'll get a schedule of upcoming shows, articles, and be eligible to enter for freebies.